there was a time, probably just like a couple years ago, where I didn't think I could go 10. I don't know if that makes sense. But. Hey man, I'm happy to be here. As Elder Johnstone mentioned, we had a great time on Sunday. We did borrow him for a few moments, and it was really good ministry in Kent. The Lord's really doing some great stuff in that congregation, and what's cool about it is, as Elder Johnstone was alluding to, it's really clear when you see that there's just something different about seeing that you're where God needs you to be. That you're where, as he mentioned on Sunday in what he taught, where he's planted you and he's placed you, not just where you happen to be at. You know, if you believe this word, if you're a believer, if you're led by his spirit, if you fellowship his spirit, if you pray, if you read about him, if you're trying to get to know him and let his nature kind of saturate your nature, it gets hard to believe in accidents, if I'm being honest. Exactly. I made that statement just a couple weeks ago. I have to believe that there are no accidents. I'm standing here today very thankful, very grateful for paternity leave. Praise the Lord, like all caps, PTO. It was a wonderful 3 months. It was a great quarter. And I came back to work. Let me rewind a little bit. I was prompted of this as Brother Johnstone was praying. During my time off, you know, I was helping. Don't worry, I was helping out at the house, you know, doing everything I could, but also staying busy as much as I could during the day. And if you know me, you know that I have to move if I'm going to be like a happy, pleasant, communicative, coherent person. Like, I have to be in movement, and so I have to, you know, sweat a little bit every once in a while. I have to go be doing something. Maybe that's just a testosterone. I don't know, but that's just me. And so I signed up for a gym membership, and I haven't done this in a long time. I started playing basketball again. You know, I show up to the gym. I haven't played hoops in forever, and started doing it 3 times a week, playing with people at the gym. Which at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon is people who work graveyard, kids who, you know, have night class at the community college, or people who work at the hospital that afternoon. And I'll tell you, in a span of 4 weeks, I probably got like 15, between 10 and 15 contacts who I'm still in regular contact with. 6 of them being people I have texts in my phone right now who I have regular communication with, just from going to the gym and playing ball. And through that, there were a few things that the Lord had to teach me through that. One was that, you know, I'm shorter than most of the people on the basketball court. I'm also now slower than most of the people on the court. A lot less skilled. I mean, there are a few things, you know, I could go down the list. But then also that, how am I meeting all these people? Like, what's going on? Why are people saying, hey, let me know next time you play? And like, I really didn't say much to them. But these connections are being made, and I have to believe that there are no accidents. Amen? There are no accidents. One of the last contacts I made, one of the last people who walked into the door one day, is this man who I remembered his face as soon as he walked in the door. He used to go to church, to my church, the church that my dad pastored. Probably, I haven't seen him in 10 plus years. I remember him as a kid. He used to come. He was a friend of someone who went to the church, who was just starting to come to the church, and he was inviting all his friends, you know. And so one of his friends came to the church, and this guy, this friend, shows up to the gym. Turns out he's a regular. I've seen him probably 30 times in the last 3 months. This man who used to come to the church. And we had some conversations, you know, and each time the Lord, here's another thing the Lord had to work through and maybe out of me, was that he had to tell me to stop trying to flip the switch on witnessing. Like, stop going, okay, I'm going to witness now. Okay. Like, this is where I witness, you know. Like, he's saying this to me, and I'm going to insert in something here. He taught me to stop that. Actually, he taught me that through two people who I had to learn the hard way. Like, hey, that's, you know, that wasn't what I intended in that moment for you to just, hey, you know, do you not have plans this weekend? Want to come to church with me? I don't know, maybe it's this day and age, this generation, but that's not, people want to know that you care before they care how much you know. That's where we're at now in this day of information, this day of, you know, technology and the way people communicate now. And so they're like, why are you inviting me to church? Like, I just started playing basketball with you. Like, this is a gym relationship, you know, like this is how we live in 2019. I have my gym people, I have my work people, and I have my, so the Lord's taught me something in that. He worked out this instinct of, okay, this is where I witness now, and started turning it into, can I just be a witness, like, in everything I do? Can I just be a light somehow? Can I just trust that if there's a reason these people are connecting to me, having conversations with me, you know, we're getting to the point where we exchange phone numbers and they want to know the next time I play ball, can I trust that I'm a part of a process in that point? A larger plan, if you will. That there's a goal in mind, that someone is reaching for someone and there are accountabilities on both sides. And the accountability isn't all on me. I don't have to, at that point, you know, I was taught this many years ago, and I can see now that maybe that wasn't the right approach, is you approach people on the street and you ask them, have you ever told a lie? And then if they say, yes, I've told a lie, then you ask them, what does that make you? I'm serious. I've like received formal training on this. And even then, I was like, even as like a really just ignorant, apathetic 15-year-old, I was like, I don't know, something seems like, I don't know if I would believe that, you know? Now I'm realizing I got to trust that he's placing me around people he's reaching, and that I'm accountable to maybe plant, to maybe water, but who gives the increase at the end of the day? God gives the increase. So that's actually what the Lord laid upon my heart for tonight as I was driving down. I had all the time in the world on 405 coming from Bellevue. And so the Lord had a good amount of time in my day to speak to me. Can we pray? Father, let there be clarity in your voice tonight, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We trust you, Father. We submit to your will. We submit to your agenda, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we trust you, Father. We trust you, God. Amen. I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing in Kent. You know, one way we know that he's at work is that his hands are at work in our congregation, is that besides feeling it, like we have these conversations with people, members in the church, and it's people who have maybe just been apart for a year or two or 3 years, and all of a sudden there's something, there's a hunger that's developing in the congregation, and it's people saying, hey, I just feel like the Lord's drawing me away from this and into this. And recently, you know, we had a life group We do a lot of life groups in midweeks, and the congregation, it just, that's where the Lord has us in this season for midweeks, and it goes really well, and it sparks a lot of conversation, sparks a lot of testimony, sparks a lot of, this is what, you know, God has been talking to me about, God's been dealing with me about this, or what do you think about this, and posing it to the group, and it's been awesome. And one of the things that's come up is this topic of holiness. And, you know, at a very high level, we talked about holiness as I've heard Bishop make this statement. It's not that I'm separating from things in my life. Like, I have to stop focusing on that. It's that I'm being separated unto God. That's holiness. As I get closer to Him, as I get to know Him more, as I get to learn more about His nature, I said this earlier, as I become more like Him, try to put on His mind, His spirit, the way He thinks, the things He's thoughtful of, the things He's aware of, the things that He's cautious of, that He distances from, all of those things, then all of a sudden I begin to naturally want to separate from those things. So I'm separated unto God. Not necessarily just, I'm just separating myself from these things. That's taking care of symptoms, right? No, this is the root cause. This is the root issue at hand. It's, I'm getting closer to Him, and that's drawing me away from some other things in my life. That's healthy. That's growth. And we're beginning to see this among multiple people, you know, and it's different things. It can be, there was a couple weeks ago where several people approached myself and Bishop after service, and it was probably four people. And it was one sermon about just, it was a pretty straightforward few minutes of ministry, and four people received it in different ways. Like the Lord was calling them out of four different things. And it occurred to me, like, that is God speaking. That's rhema, you know. We have the logos. We think there's the word that stands. It's non-negotiable. It's always there. And then His rhema, we need to have it at work in these meetings, like right now. In this, I have to have faith that His rhema is going to speak to someone tonight in a way that might be different than someone else, someone sitting right next to them. That's the way He works. Amen. I'm going to read from Hebrews. Chapter 12. Verse 5. So we'll start at 5 and read down a few verses. Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And the Lord has been talking to me lately about, everyone say the word order. Order. Anyone believe there's order to all of this? I think that if you approach, you know, the way we're structured as Life Church, as Life Ministry, and you walk in on a Sunday, maybe you walk in on a Wednesday night like tonight, and you're unfamiliar with us, you might start thinking, man, there's like no order in that. Is there any order? Like, they just call, there's like four people who preach sometimes. Sometimes it's one. And sometimes they just stand there and pray. Like, and if you're very used to a traditional Pentecostal-based, or really any Christianity-based church, that's what it can come off as. But it's different. Everyone say it's different. There is order. There is order in what we do. There's order in what we believe. There's order in our concept. And I felt like tonight, this might just be for one person. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe you have this sorted out. But I think it's good to have reminders to maintain order in our lives. to respect the order that the Lord has placed for us in this season of our lives. Where we're placed, the body of Christ that we've been placed in, this congregation, this body, this place that I'm in today. If you're a part of Life Church Puyallup, you're a part of the body, and there's an order to that. The Lord has a plan for you. We are a building fitly framed, and every part of the body has a form and a function. Do you believe that today? That's regardless of the hat you wear, the title you have on your name, whether or not you have a little pin here on Sundays, or if you're listed on the website, you have a place in this body. Amen? And I'll just say, like, I'm beginning to see this in Kent. There are people who it's becoming really clear. It's becoming clear as day. Wow, that person is going to be involved with the greeting team. Like, they're going to be involved. The Lord is really working in their lives. They've made some commitments, and they've been faithful. And the way that they carry themselves, there's just this confirmation. And Bishop recently said it to this same couple. They're going to have involvement. That comes from understanding that there's an order to all of this. And at some point, they're going to have to accept, okay, what's my place in the order that God has set for my next season here at Life Church Kent? Like, what does God have for me in this season, and what does God have for me next? So this, you can think of all this as a little bit of a reminder. I came back to work just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I went from, you know, kind of fabricating my schedule on a daily basis, you know, while on leave, to having all these meetings and then trying to figure out how to get from Renton to Bellevue in time, and then also to get home without sitting in traffic for 2 hours. Like, all of a sudden I went from making a schedule to just having it laid out and trying to figure out how to survive, how to stay afloat in this, like, who goes to work here and has meetings? Do you have meetings? Like, why do we spend so much time in meetings? I came back to work, I was like, man, I understand, you know, Microsoft's a very valuable company. We obviously do a lot of things right, make a lot of money, but too many meetings. Just like, we just sit here and talk about things. And I came from not having to think about work things, and, you know, I was telling my manager, like, you know, yeah, I've got all this headspace. It's awesome. Like, I'm gonna, I've got some goals that I have laid out for my career, which, you know, that's all obviously pending whatever the Lord's will for me in my job. But as we go through career planning and checking in and you know, your evaluation, he's telling me, how are you feeling? I said, I feel like I've got tons of headspace, so I'm just gonna I'm trying to restart some good habits, or like start some habits that I didn't have prior to leaving, because in the world of tech, especially in advertising like mine, I'm drowning in emails day and night, and so I can't ever think about the extra projects because I'm just trying to do my day job. And I'm telling him all this, and he said, okay, that's great. That's awesome. Like, I feel like you're in a good spot. You're in a good place right now. And I said, yes, I am. And right after that conversation, I walked into this meeting we had called You'll Be Bored As I, you know, tell you what the name is. It was called Opportunity and Responsibility, and it was 2 hours long. It was from 3 to 5 p.m. Like, just in time for you to sit in the garage for 20 minutes and as you wait to get out the car, you know, get out of the garage and then get on the 405, just in time for rush hour. It was awesome. And so I walked into the meeting. I'm like, you know, I've got all this headspace. I talked to my manager. Like, I feel great. Week one. And it is a two-hour meeting. I won't bore you with details because you're probably already there. It was about like things like expense reports and how to do the right thing in business and not expensing over your limits, which we already know. Like, I've been doing this for years. How to submit expense reports correctly for 2 whole hours. I was like, And it was in a stuffy room, and we had all our leadership in there, and I'm just, and all of us had to be like, this is, you know, this is good stuff, good content. We need it. And people are doing that, and that's exhausting to me. So that's where I'm at, right? And all of a sudden, this is what happened in that moment. So in that meeting, towards the end, we had a guy from finance talking to us about some things that, like, here are examples, here are some things people did that weren't right. And so at the end of the day, here's what needs to happen. And he said this. He said, you know, it sounds like we're policing you with these expense reports. It sounds like we're, like, trying to rule your lives with just how to do every little thing right. And it's not that. Here's the deal. If two of you go out to dinner, or let's say there's four of you going out to dinner, who is the most senior of all of you? You just ask yourself that question, and that person has to then expense that dinner. If the four of you go out to dinner and it's on the company card, the most senior of you has to expense that dinner. And if you go out to dinner with your manager, the person reviewing that report with you and your manager and maybe other teammates has to be the person above your manager. I'm like, okay, that all makes sense. And then here's what he said, because the Lord has been dealing with me about this. We've actually taught about this recently in Canton. I've had conversations with several individuals about this. The guy from finance literally said this: at the end of the day, it's about oversight. And, you know, I'm thinking, I'm in this work meeting. It's 2 hours long, and I just want to get out of here. And it's stuffy. I'm having a hard time breathing, you know. And this guy just said, at the end of the day, you need oversight. It's a good principle to practice. And that's really all we're talking about today. And I thought, okay. All of a sudden, I was like, God, are you talking to me right now? Oh, all right. Okay. I don't know. There was probably a time in my life where that would have... Anyone ever get that? Like, the Lord speaks to you and you're like, man, a year ago, I was not ready for that. So all of a sudden he's talking to me about oversight and the importance of oversight. The concept that everything that we do, there is an order to it. As it relates to the kingdom. And there's three factors, right? There's his word. I have to stay in his word. And everything gets filtered through his word. Amen? And then there's the body and my involvements in the body. And then there's the spiritual authority that the Lord has placed in my life. Anyone believe that? That's important. It's important to stay connected. It's important to stay connected to the body. And it's important to stay connected to spiritual authority that obviously runs through the filter of the word. Obviously, everything runs through the filter of the word. But I can't miss out on that component. Let's pray for a moment. Can we do that? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, at every level of responsibility, at every stop along the way, at every level of accountability, Jesus, there's also a need for oversight. There's also a need for submission, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we submit to your will, submit to your agenda, Father. Hikataya rabaha. In the name of Jesus. The Bible refers to Jesus as the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. And that overseer word is the same Greek word as every time the Bible uses the word oversight. And example after example in the Bible, it's made clear that the model of oversight that we operate from, it's modeled after his oversight for us. We are under his watch. We are under, he's our shepherd, right? And we are under that watch. And from that point, he also appoints individuals. He also appoints people in our lives to play a role in our lives, to where we're not. Here's the other thing. And I just came to remind someone of this. Maybe this is the one thing that sticks with you. Oversight is not about restricting you. It's about covering you. You understand, there are people praying for you when you don't even know it. There are people bringing your name, submitting your name to him without you even knowing it. I know my grandmother did this. I can think back to walking in the hallway as a little kid and hearing her pray in her bedroom and calling out all of my name, my sister's names, my cousin's names. And in the moment, I just thought, man, she's, you know, I was a kid. I probably didn't think anything of it, actually. But now I understand, especially now that I have kids, I understand the value of praying for those around me, for praying for those that I believe the Lord has given me place in their lives. Has the Lord put someone in your life? Has he placed someone in your life? Whether it's because they're your family, or whether it's because they're a friend of yours, or they're just a connection that's come up out of nowhere, and you just happen to be connected. That's God. There are no accidents. And he's placed them in your life. And there's an accountability for it. Amen? I'm accountable for that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The last thing I wanted to cover about this concept of, you know, recognizing his order in my life and recognizing the model of oversight in my life is that it says here, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And he says, if you're not ever without chastisement, you are not sons. It kind of says to me, if I'm so comfortable that the Lord can't correct me, if I'm so mature in my walk that the Lord can't ever correct where I'm at, or bring correction in my life, then he's actually, those are strong words. He says, you are not sons. He says another word that I'm not going to repeat, but it's there in the KJV. I just wanted to remind someone of that tonight. I need his correction in my life. I need his order in my life. That's a principle that has to play out in my life. Amen. It's not just about all the little things we practice. You know, I was talking about expense reports, and it's not about the little things. It's not just about all of the little things we do. It's about the principles behind it. And there's a very clear principle of the order of the Lord, the model of oversight in the kingdom. It is clear. It's in the Word. And I'm accountable to participate with that. Another thing with order and oversight, and I didn't know if I'd share this tonight, is that, you know, too often our view of order and our view of oversight and our difficulties with dealing with authorities in our lives, whether God-given or not, stems from our earthly view of authority. A coworker of mine recently, he was telling me about his dating life, and I didn't ask, but he was just telling me about it. It was a proximity thing. And so he's just telling me, and then he's like, yeah, man, I think we're done. She's got daddy issues and all these things. And I almost stopped, and I was like, hey, First off, in my spirit, it sparked something in me. In that, when did we get to a point where we make light of that? How many people deal with what we joke about as a daddy issue? I know bishops talked about it before. The corruption of the family unit in today's day and age has led to what we call all these people who we just joke about it. They've just got issues. You know, they've got a daddy issue, whatever it might be. But it's because of the corruption of humanity and what it's done to the family unit. And so because of that, we have people. We have Christians. We have spirit-filled believers who are still struggling to get over things in their lives because they have a corrupted view of oversight and order in their life. And that stems from earthly things that have happened, something that's happened in their own family, something in the past, and it's causing blockages. It's causing a hindrance in their spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. The Lord wants to remind us to lean not on our own understanding, but trust in Him with all of our heart. We need to, as much as we can, remove the imperfect view that we have of Him as a Father. Based on everything we've experienced in our own lives. Too often, us, you know, children of imperfect fathers, and I'm a child of an imperfect father. I love him to death, but I can't hold him to the standard that look, I just feel a reminder. I just feel like the Lord's prompting someone to say, hey, I'm trying to reframe the way you look at me as Father. I'm just trying to rearrange some of the wiring in your spirit around how you think of me as a Father, because there's some imperfections I need to refine out of that. There's some imperfections that I need to heat up and take out of your spirit, because the things that you've experienced in your life are corrupting that. Can we stand right now? In the name of Jesus. Hikarabu shoto. In the name of Jesus. Father, don't let my imperfect and human perception affect my place in your kingdom, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need to refine out of my spirit, Jesus. However hot you need to get things, Jesus, so that you can purify some things out of my spirit tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The Lord's trying to help someone in this room tonight. The Lord's trying to help someone in this room tonight to change the way that they look at Him. Hikarabo shoto yoloboko. Hiatayalabaharabo shoto. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hikarabu shoto. Hialabaha rabu shoto yoloboko. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hikata yalabu shoto roboko. Hiarabaha yata rabu shoto. In the name of Jesus. We wait upon you tonight, Father. We trust in you, Jesus. We trust in you, Father. We trust in you. You are a good Father. You are a perfect Father. It doesn't matter what I experienced. It doesn't matter what I didn't experience. It doesn't matter what I missed out on in life. It doesn't matter what I deserved. It doesn't matter what I didn't deserve in my earthly relationships, Father. You are a good Father. I declare that right now, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hialarabas otororobo kiatararamande alarabahaye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Itarororobo kiatararabahakiataye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I was just reading the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Everybody say divine order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, but I want you to know, this is Paul writing to the church. He's about to share with them divine order. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Picture this. We're talking about order, oversight, and where we fit in all of this, finding your place. The head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So there's this divine order that he chooses to flow through. You believe that God has order? And the issue comes when, as the man of my house, my family looks to me. I'm not in charge of my wife. She's not in charge of me, but she looks to me for leadership. There's times she said to me, I need you to make a decision on this. Why me? I don't want to bear all the brunt of this. Let's make this together. Nope, I'm out. This is your decision. That's a lot of pressure, but that's the divine order. And she's looking to me for what's God saying to you about this, because she knows that the order is he's over me. So what happens if I step out of the order? And now that divine order is out of line. There's no alignment there. And she says, what's the Lord saying to you? Well, I don't know. Can't hear his voice. Why can't you hear his voice? Because I'm out of order. And then there comes that point of realignment where I let the Holy Ghost reveal that to me. Sometimes I know it. If you have any spiritual perception whatsoever, you know when you're out of order, when you're out of alignment, you know. And, you know, sometimes I race to get back in line. I race to get back in alignment with him. And other times I'm like, I'm going to be mad for a couple days about this. But I want to stay upset about this for a while. Just give me a week, okay? I'll repent in a week. I'm being facetious a little bit, but not really at the same time. Can I pout for a while, you know? Can I throw a fit about this for a little while? I don't like how this is going. And all the while I'm out of alignment, and so the divine order that he chooses to flow through is now broken for those that I'm responsible to. I've got three children that are responsible, or that I'm responsible for, that are looking to me. They're in that channel of order, and they're looking to me. What's going on, Dad? Dad, why are you so angry? Dad, why are you so mad? I'm not mad. Yes, you are. Okay, I'm done. My week's up. I'll get back in alignment. We know that. There's times that we know when we've stepped out. If you're a person that lives in alignment and lives where you know God wants you to be, you know when you step out of alignment. And it's that divine order that he chooses to flow through. And he chooses to bless our homes through it. He chooses to bless our lives through it. And it's an amazing place to live. It's a place of peace. It's a place of peace in your family. It's a place of peace and rest. The whole house gets to enjoy it when there's divine order. Father, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus that we would keep ourselves in alignment with you, that we would seek to be in alignment with you, Father, on a daily basis, that we would seek to align ourselves with your will and your purpose and your plan every day, Father, that you may flow through us to those, Father, who are depending on us for that same flow, that same word, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. For the last week, I'll let you go with this. For the last week, I've been listening a couple of times, and some of it is I'm getting time, to the Friday day session of Pause with Bishop Wright. And there was something that stuck out to me on Thursday. He was talking about the power of God being in us and where God puts us and where God places us. And man, we're talking about divine order tonight. And he talked about how a ship, the measurement of a ship is not based on weight, but it's by how much water it displaces. And he talked about that's who we are in this world. When we're full of God's Spirit and we're operating in the authority and the power of His Spirit, everywhere He puts us, it's a displacement effect. We're displacing whatever spiritual darkness, whatever things are there, that when they set that boat down into the water, it displaces. What's the area of displacement? You see, when I'm in divine order, when I'm aligned with Him, He can flow through me like that. And so you may be here tonight and like, I don't have any kids, I don't have a wife, I don't have all this. What's all this alignment stuff mean to me? Could it be that in your job, there's people that are depending on you being in divine order? Because when you come into the office, you bring peace with you. When you walk into a room of people, it just brings a calm, and people don't even know why. They don't even know that. Here's the thing. They don't even know that it's associated with you necessarily. They don't even have to know that it's associated with you. He does. He knows. If we get hung up on who gets the credit or how we get the credit or if I get the credit, no. He just says, I've placed you. You stay in alignment with me. I've placed you in this place. You just displaced today in this conference room all the stuff that's going to come in with everybody. I just need you to displace it. I'm putting you there today. But if you're not in alignment, how does He flow through you? How does He use you to be that displacement, to bring that peace and that comfort and that rest to individuals that are seeking it, that are hungry for it? Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. We'll see you back here on Sunday.